Today's episode of The Mom Game is presented by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is Gateway's Got It. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade.
And I'm going to tell you now about our friends over at Golden Chick, because Golden Chick has some delicious food for the entire family. We go there all the time. And one of the reasons we love working with them here on The Mom Game is that they give back to the community. And right now they have a really cool thing going on where the Golden Chicks are actually targeting individual schools near the Golden Chick restaurants. So this is throughout the DFW area. They're supporting over 230 schools within the system-wide give back initiative. What they're doing is they're giving 50 cents from every order off their new churro menu that is going on now through December 29th. So they're giving 50 cents off the churro menu back to an elementary school in the surrounding area near that specific Golden Chick that you are eating your churros at. So that money is going back to your local community. So just another reason to go enjoy Golden Chick. And of course, they still have the delicious things that you know and love on the menu, like the Wicked Wings, and they also have some new lemon pepper wings. So many things to choose from. A great price, and that menu is just legit. I love the chicken salad there. We love the rolls. They have roasted chicken. They have fried chicken. They have some delicious veggies, green beans, mac and cheese.
The rolls.
So many things.
The rolls are my favorite.
The rolls dipped are so good.
Dipped in the gravy.
In the gravy, yeah. And you got to get that Lotta Zing spice and that Lotta Zing sauce if you go.
Okay.
It's awesome. So good. Golden Chick, thanks for being a part of The Mom Game.
Yay, Golden Chick. And welcome inside the Coppola Studios for episode 242 of The Mom Game. I'm Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs, and really settling in here.
Yeah, we are.
It feels like home.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it does.
Danny and Rob helping us out every week, and it's fun. We have new chairs. They don't, you probably can't tell it at home. Or wherever you are watching this, if you're watching this at all. But we did get new fancy chairs. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's helping with good posture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
They're good. Comfy.
They are comfy.
Yeah, it's coming along, Em.
It is. It's not even, it's along. It's not coming along. It's already along.
Yeah.
We're along.
It's already been brought in.
It's been.
The Bring It On quote.
Yeah, it's been
Did you watch Bring It On?
I did. Nice. And I like that.
I got the door tour. Remember that part?
I don't remember that part. Oh. I do like the brought in, though. It's already been brought in.
It's already been brought in.
Yes, it has. It's the studio has been brought in.
That's right.
Okay, what's going on? Halloween's coming.
Yes, Halloween's coming.
Remember, I was super, I'm you know, Halloween bah humbug. Scrooge. Yeah. I'm a Halloween Scrooge. Huh. Just because I feel like it kind of drags out.
The holidays.
Scrooge. I'm kind of a holiday Scrooge, yeah. Period. Except for Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of the one that...
Well, it's one day.
Usually people don't like.
It's one day.
As much as the others.
No pressure to decorate. I mean, I guess there is the fall decor people.
Yeah.
There to decorate.
You're not one of them?
Honey, you know
I decorate for one... You just kind of frowned upon fall decor people.
I do. Well,
the way you said that.
Well, I
it was a little bit judgy.
I frown upon their judginess of me for not being a fall decor person.
You think they're judging you for not 100%. Being a fall decor person?
Really? 100%. Yeah.
So the fall decor person thinks that people who don't decorate for fall suck.
Pretty much.
Okay. All right.
Oh, okay. So why I love Thanksgiving, though, it's one day. Mm-hmm. There's no presents, right? So you don't have to worry about, like...
Part of the reason it sucks.
just don't have to do. It's just like, okay, like all you got to do is just make some food.
Just eat.
And
like every other day.
For me this year, I don't even have to make stuff because
you got out of that.
I did. Thanks to our friends at Hurtado Barbecue. yeah. But so Hurtado has pre-order Thanksgiving meals. You can do an entire meal. Now, with the, we in our family, we have people who bring like their sides that they're known for. Mm-hmm. But if you're hosting, which I am this year, you're in charge of the meat. And so I just dialed up my friend Brandon Hurtado and I was like, hey, can you help a sister out with some turkey and ham? And he was like, absolutely. And got us taken care of. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. A lot of people, I think, don't realize.
No, in fact, I posted about it last night and somebody was like, what? Hurtado does Thanksgiving? I was like, sure do.
Yeah.
Get on it because they only have a limited number. I mean, there's only so much meat.
In the world?
In the world. Mm-hmm. And so they got to make sure they get enough meat to provide everyone with this delicious Thanksgiving meals. So anyway, excited about that. But Halloween is first.
I wonder where they get their turkeys.
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Think about it.
No.
Little gobble gobbles.
Oh my gosh. Did Hattie ever have a moment where she was like trying to like figuring out about eating animals?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Yeah.
We're dealing with it.
You are. Does she want to become a vegetarian?
Oh, yeah. Like, she says she's a vegetarian.
But she still eats chicken.
But she loves eating meat. She just golden ignores.
She loves golden chick.
She loves golden chick. She loves steak.
Yeah.
She loves chicken. Well, but she's like, I'm a vegetarian. Okay. I do not eat animals.
she's like gnawing down on a T-bone.
She's choosing not to, like, believe that she's actually eating
animals. Yeah. Yeah. That happens. It happens.
It's hard. Thing for kids
to comprehend. To understand. Like, okay, yeah.
And hunting. I mean, it's all weird.
I know. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's put that in the tackle box. Hunting talk.
Yeah.
We'll mix in a little gun control as well.
Oh, a quick glance into our tackle box says butt stuff.
Oh, yeah. I have to put a hook in that one.
Gun control.
Gun control.
Or a plug.
Danny says let's put a plug in it.
Put a plug in it and butt talk. butt stuff.
Anyone who's worked at the Freak has a butt plug infatuation.
Whoa.
Right, Danny?
Okay. Negative.
Good.
Really there's a story there.
Okay.
We
should put a plug in it because I don't really understand those.
I don't either.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm adding butt plug.
We can revisit that.
When are we ever going to get to this damn tackle box?
I know.
Butt plug talk.
Okay. But so Halloween is coming. I've got two notes on Halloween. First of all, the neighbors across the street from me go all out for Halloween. It's their thing.
Is that okay? Like fall decor is lame, but Halloween.
Whatever you want to do at your house.
I know, but they're different though. Are they different Halloween decor 100%. People and fall decor people?
Well, I think sometimes people will take the Halloween decor and repurpose it for fall decor. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, pumpkins can stay out for however long, right? Because they're considered fally. But like, I think you're probably going to like a full on jack-o'-lantern you're probably going to toss after Halloween.
Yeah, the black cats, the Frankensteins, the witches.
Yes, bingo, spiders. But my neighbor across the street, they're big Rangers fans. And she texted me the other day and she was like, so Alan is getting his big display ready for Halloween. Mm-hmm. And she's like, he's going to have a Rangers World Series, you know, section. And he was like, do you mind if he does a skeleton of you and calls it, and calls it Bones Jones?
Oh my gosh.
And she was like, it's okay if you're not comfortable with that. I was like, I could care less. I think it's hilarious. And so across every day when I leave my house, I see Bones Jones interviewing. I think it's Evan Carter. And then somebody's got like a Powerade cooler. Like,
oh, my gosh. Like, that's amazing.
I'll have to take a picture and send it to you.
Yes. How have you not?
Because I really haven't gotten a good look at it because every time I'm driving. But I need to walk over there and take a picture. And I think it's better at night. So I just need to make a point to do it. But anyway.
You should just go creep them out and like Bones. Go sit in front of it and kind of like worship it at night.
Weird, but anyway,
put flowers around it.
I mean, I feel like I've got like, does that mean I've arrived when someone puts me in their Halloween display and labels Bones?
You've officially
Jones?
Arrived. You hadn't anyway, until that.
It was now it's official.
Now that you
25 year career, now I've finally made it.
That's awesome. And how random that they live across the street.
It's like, really is
they're
funny.
The Bones Jones.
Kind kind of awesome. Okay. Awesome. And then I wanted to follow up on one little thing that I did. So I've told you the stories about embarrassing Hattie when I went to her class, and it's kind of my new jam is like to see what I can do to embarrass my kids. Mm-hmm. Did I tell you the story about what Henry said to me about dressing up for Halloween?
Yes.
Okay. Did I tell it on the show?
Yeah.
So, okay, good. So basically, Henry said he wanted to be Lawrence Butler for Halloween because he wants a Lawrence Butler jersey, basically. And so I told him I was going to dress up as a sexy nurse, to which he responded, "Mom, I don't think you can pull that off." Mm-hmm. Well, that didn't sit very well with me.
You want your son to think you're hot.
So I did not want my son to think that I'm hot. I want my son to know that mom can do anything she puts her mind to. Damn it.
I think he probably knows.
You think he's already turned on to that fact?
Yeah.
So anyway, Hattie and I had to go get face paint for one of her 500 costumes, which is why it's Halloween. And I was like, oh, we're Party City. Maybe I should.
I was Party City last night, girl.
Let's go browse the nurse costumes.
Okay.
So she's like, Mom, yes. So we get it on, like, I think it was last Wednesday or something. And she's wanting me to put it on, like, right away. And I'm like, no, it has to be the perfect opportunity.
$39.99.
It was, like, 20 bucks. Oh, I mean, it was, this thing was plastic.
Yeah.
Like, I think I was wearing Ziploc bags. Like, I don't know. And so anyway, I decide what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick him up from school wearing the nurse outfit.
Emily.
And this is safe because I don't have to get out of the car at pickup. Mm-hmm. And so, because I'm trying to embarrass him, not me. Like, if I get out of the car, that's embarrassing to me. But I'm just trying to embarrass him. So my niece and nephew are in town for the Tech TCU game, which sucked, but whatever. And so they go with me to pick him up from school. So it's in the, I'm setting the scene because I rolled on it. So it's me in the front seat. Passenger seat is open in the front. In the back is my niece Jordan, who is filming and laughing, Hattie's friend Sydney, Carter, Jordan's boyfriend, and my nephew, Jacob. Anyway, there's like 5-6 people in the car. Jordan's rolling, and so he knows to come to the, you know, to the car. He always goes to the passenger side, and I'm wearing a sexy nurse costume in the front seat.
Oh my God.
And this is what happened. Throws his backpack in the car and says, "I'm not getting in."
Let's go.
Running away.
You don't want me to get out.
Literally running. He's running so far and so fast that I had to drive. Oh, I forgot my mom was in the car too.
Oh my God.
My mom, I just heard my mom's voice. My mom was in the car too. So literally sees it, knows immediately.
Chunks his bag.
He knows what's happening. Throws his stuff in the car, shuts the door and runs away.
Poor Henry.
I know. And they're like, "You don't want me to get out. I promise." Neither do I.
Did he come back? Okay, so tell us what happened after the video.
He was smiling and smirking about it at first. And then I had to drop him off at a birthday party at Colonial. So anyway, he kind of got more mad as this kind of, as he continued to see me in this nurse costume with my fishnet, whatever they were, glove. No, we had to go straight from school pickup to the birthday party drop off.
Oh, boy.
Okay. But I didn't get out of the car then either. So it's like, so anyway, he was like, please do not ever do that again. And I was like, Baba, it was just to be funny. And I was like, and I would have never done it in front of any of your friends or anything like that.
None of his friends saw you.
None of his friends saw me. None of his friends saw me. No. And I, you know, and you can't see in the video, you can't see the whole thing, which is by design.
Right.
There is a picture that I will not share with anyone ever in my life. Well, I think I shared it with you, actually, but like friends, I think I shared it with you.
I don't think you did. I just got the video.
To get the full effect of what I was working
on. Oh, maybe
with.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I did.
So anyway, but it was really funny.
Like, oh my God.
And now this is like, I'm living for like ways I can embarrass my kids.
I mean, we have to have some fun with it.
Yes.
Because yours are, I mean, and yours are very sweet, good kids, but like everybody knows that that stage is like a-hole kid stage.
Oh,
like
my
the
gosh.
Teenage, and that's the stage that I fear.
Yeah.
You know, like when they think you're so embarrassing and so not cool and don't want to hang out with you and all that. Like, I'm still in a little bit of that sweet spot where they like me and want to hang out with me and everything.
Think you're cool.
So, yeah, you have to at least have fun with it.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah. Like, I mean, and I would never do, like, I would never have done that and gotten out, like, in front of his friends or anyone outside of our family, you know?
Yeah.
But it was funny. I saw Ian Kinsler. We played, our sons played against each other in a tournament this weekend. And I showed it to him. And he was like, this is amazing. And I was like, I feel like I've peaked as a parent. Like, I don't know what else I can do to top this. And so Tess, Ian's wife, Tess wasn't at the game. And I texted her the video and I was like, please tell Ian to explain. She was like, oh my God.
It's amazing.
This is amazing.
I just love that he legit just ran away.
I mean, like his natural instinct.
It was just
run away.
Run away from my mom. Who's doing terrible things.
Mars can. But he has since forgiven me. We had a good weekend and
that's
it was fun.
Good.
So
well, it's
just
pretty funny.
To share.
And hopefully you can appreciate that you're pretty
I think
fun.
He may not, he may not appreciate it now, but I think at some point he will.
Yeah.
But like he's never going to forget the time his mom picked him up for his costume.
Yeah.
Whoever wants to forward this to like the Parent of the Year award nomination committee, yes. Just
maybe you could get a parenting Emmy. It'll only cost
I'm not winning any
parenting. $500 to enter the contest.
Oh, we need to put that in the tackle box.
You have to write an essay about why you're Emmys. Such a good parent and pay a lot of money.
Oh.
But then you can be entered to win a parenting Emmy. Oh my god!
So anyway, that was fun. I just wanted to share. It was
it's amazing.
It was.
And between that and the Hattie video, man, you're killing it.
What Hattie video?
Well, the video of you embarrassing Hattie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
I love it.
It's good
stuff.
She
gets a homework assignment and she takes it and runs with it.
Yes.
And our son runs away.
Okay. Yes.
I just wonder about the people that like really wear those.
100%.
Like, oh, I've got a party. Let me go get this sexy nurse costume. Like, I mean, I guess
sexy
maybe like
anything. I'm going to be a
18-year-old, but
a
like
sexy cat.
Yeah, like anything with sexy in front of it.
Yes.
Like that's my
be
Halloween
a sexy
costume.
Sexy construction worker.
Yes. Sexy police officer.
It is. It's like everyone's excuse to just, you know, slut it up a little bit.
Except for when you're like old.
47.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, but it did go straight into the trash.
Oh,
and then somebody was like, "Well, what did Mike? Well, Mike might wanna." And I was like, "Mike was probably more embarrassed than Henry was." Sometimes I think my whole family's just like, "Me and Mom."
Well,
honey,
they're stuck with you.
They are.
That's
yeah.
Why?
I mean, and it's like
God made families the way they are.
Before.
They can't get rid of us,
right? Yeah. I mean, Mike knew what he was getting into with this whole business.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids really didn't have a choice, but
no.
I feel like they're conditioned.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, they're
God
doing
bless.
Great.
God
they're
bless
doing
us.
Great. No, that's amazing.
Okay.
I love it. You're killing it. So on real Halloween, like, do you do anything? Like, do you wear anything?
No.
You don't even wear like a headband or.
I mean, if somebody brings me one.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am. But, you know, some of the families.
I used to have a shirt with a pumpkin on it that I wore every year.
Yeah.
And then it got too small.
I don't have a plan this year. But, you know, some of the families go are like with younger kids.
They're
all family costumed out. And
there's a family that used to live in our neighborhood. And that's what they do. Like they're instead of doing like Christmas cards, they do like Halloween. They do this whole photo shoot and it's a theme. And it's fun because it's like it's their thing.
Yeah.
And so I always look forward to the Lacey's, you know, Halloween card or whatever they do. Because she goes all out and it's so cute and you know, it's
right.
But so then that's their thing. Like I have some people who do like a Valentine's Day card instead of a Christmas card. Cause there's so many Christmas cards.
Yeah.
I'm not doing Christmas cards this year. I decided.
They're done.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Look at you.
Yeah. But we didn't take pictures or anything. I just found a picture I liked of my kids and I
and then
had
you
them
did
printed.
It.
Yeah. And that's easier to do. Maybe I should do that. Just my kids. Because when it involves the whole family, it's like, it's such a
coordinating
outfits.
I did no Christmas cards last year, and then I felt bad about it the whole time. Like every time I got a Christmas card, I thought about it.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have. It doesn't matter. But
anytime
I was like,
we have a photo shoot, my husband, I mean, Mike acts like literally I'm asking him.
I've seen it. We did one together.
Right. You have seen it.
Mm-hmm. The family one.
He was involved for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he acted like he just scaled Mount Everest.
Yeah.
He was so beaten down.
Yeah. That's just the husband's job, I think, in the whole photo shoot situation. Yeah. But yeah, I just found like a picture of my kids at the beach when we were at Mexico and like put a cool background and said, Merry Christmas. And then they printed them out and they're ready to rock.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. I'm proud of you.
I know. Thanks. Okay. Well, I tried doing it like the photo shoot way. And then last year I tried skipping it all together and both of them stressed me out. So I was like, I'm going to do this. This might be like the happy medium.
And it's not even November.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I do have a question. Have you paid your property taxes, Julie?
That's one of the things that I just don't want to do. And I don't want to be in charge of it. And I like handing it off to my husband to do it, which isn't nice of me. But that's just the way it is. And I feel better about doing that, though, because now I know about Own Well, and they're a partner here on the Mom Game. But it's also just like a service that I am really excited to share with people, because if you're like us, then you get those darn property tax bills in the mail, and it just kind of makes you want to die a little bit inside because it's a big, giant number, and you're like, okay, do I have to pay this? How does this work? Blah, blah, blah. Well, Own Well will take care of it for you. You don't have to spend hours filing that property tax appeal. Then you go prepare for an in-person hearing that you might lose anyways. All this takes is 3 minutes to sign up with Own Well. They will go fight it for you, and there's no upfront cost with it. They are tax experts. This is what they do. This is their ballpark. They have the relationships at the county level, and they are really good at this. They achieve an industry high 86% appeal win rate and average savings of $1,148 for their customers. So they go fight it for you. They take a 25% cut of whatever they save. So you get to save the rest. And you don't even really notice that, you know, you're not paying for it up front. So it's not a service that's coming out of your pocket. So it's wonderful. They have a 4.7 out of 5 Google review rating, A+ accreditation on the Better Business Bureau. They do all of the work for you while you sit back and you just watch those savings roll in. Go to ownwell.com for more. Also on our social media accounts. If you're not following us on social media, please do. And you will see the posts. And if you click on that little link on those posts, then it helps us because they see that you clicked that link. And if you just go online to ownwell.com, once you go through with the process, it'll ask you where you heard about them. And that's where you say the Mom Game.
Yay.
Yes.
Yeah. And they do have really good reviews. I've seen their stuff on my social media, like pop up on social media.
Yeah.
Not just from us. And it'll have all kinds of great comments.
Yeah. And they do a lot of other cool stuff, too. I think we'll continue working with them, but they like can fight your cable bill. They can like fight all of your bills for you or make sure that you're not paying things that are excess, you know, and make sure that basically you're not spending extra money on things that you don't need to spend on. So it's a good friend to have, ownwell.com.
Okay, let's talk a little sports scorts right now, brought to us by our friends at Tylock George Eye Care. Are you tired of wearing glasses? I know I was. That's why I had custom lens replacement from Tylock George Eye Care. It's one of many life-changing options from the trusted ophthalmology experts at Tylock George. You can see your world clearly from both long and short distances. No more readers, no more contacts, none of that BS. Custom lens replacement from Tylock George is life-changing. I can testify because I had it, and I don't have nun's glasses no more. Julie had LASIK, and she is seeing 20/20.
Yay,
and not even
it's
better.
So fun.
So many options that they can help you with, including that custom lens replacement or LASIK. So just schedule your free consultation at Tylock.com. That's Tylock.com. Mention the Mom Game for a special discount. Our exclusive code is Tylock.com/TMG. But if you give them a call and mention the Mom Game, you get up to $200 off, depending on what surgery you decide to go with. So holler at your friends at Tylock George Eye Care. All right, let's talk. You want to hit? I can't. Yesterday, the Cowboys talk on local radio is just exhausting.
Yeah.
So I feel like people don't come here for us to break down the Cowboys, you know, because it is what it is. They are what they are, but it's just, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. I love this team. I grew up loving it. I want them to win, but it just seems like such in such disarray.
It's a mess right now. It's a disaster.
Total mess.
So I watched this game against San Francisco closely because I did the Dumb Zone watch party. Okay. So you are forced to watch.
Yeah.
Because you have to sit there.
See, and I only made it through the first half. Night.
Yeah, and that's what I usually do if I'm at home.
Thanks to our friends at Early Bird.
Yeah.
I went night.
Nice.
Yeah, we got home from a little Halloween thing.
Uh-huh.
And I had a glass of wine and I was like, I just want to get in bed. And so I was like, oh, I'm just going to pop some Early Birds.
It's the best.
After a long weekend, I was like, I'm in.
So, yeah. So I actually watched this one with the guys, which was fun. It's the best way to watch it, in my opinion, because at least you can be entertained by people watching it and reacting and everything else. But they stayed in the game, you know, enough to make people think that at the end of the game, the Cowboys had a chance to come back and win.
See, I missed the third quarter, so I went to sleep. I fell asleep at halftime. So.
Yeah, because it was terrible. I mean, they scored early, and then San Francisco started pouring it on. The Cowboys could not make a stop. The Cowboys kept trying to establish the run. That was the big joke, because that's what they've been trying to do all season, is establish the run, and then that opens up the passing game. But they can never establish the run because they don't have any good running backs.
Yeah,
and I don't know what their plan was going into this season, not acquiring a good running back. Rico Dowdle was sick or something, so they didn't even have him. It was just Ezekiel Elliott. I think
Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, and Dalvin
they
Cook.
Activated, yeah.
Dalvin Cook and Zeke. So I don't know. What are you expecting there? And then they couldn't stop the run either. So it was just a really bad combination. Dak was throwing interceptions. Like, he wasn't accurate. He was overthrowing, underthrowing.
He's not running.
Intentional ground, throwing it in. He was just, he can't run anymore. Like, you can tell the plays where he used to run, and that's where he would get you a first down.
Yeah.
And now he's just kind of, you know, because of his ankle and everything else, which, why do you give that person bajillions of dollars? I don't know. But it's bad. It's really bad. They did almost have a chance to come back and win, and then they blew it late in the game. But this is the 49ers team that had, literally everybody hurt.
Oh, they're so depleted.
Yeah. And so the fact that, you know, they had George Kittle, and he was great, per usual.
Yeah, and Debo Samuel.
And Debo Samuel was there. Coming off of pneumonia, yep. So, but everybody else, all of their big weapons, outside of that, they did have Brock Purdy, who's, you know, you can stop Brock Purdy, but they couldn't. So it was just a mess. But I think what came out of that game is even worse. Did you see the whole thing with Trevon Diggs and
Mike Leslie?
Yes. And that's just a little bit of, I guess, a microcosm maybe of team right now.
Yeah. So quick synopsis of that, just in case you don't know what happened. So Trevon Diggs it wasn't his primary, his responsibility, but whatever.
He kind of gave up on a play.
It appeared that he gave up on a play. Mike Leslie, who is a local reporter for WFAA in Dallas, tweeted a clip of the play and what exactly is Trevon Diggs thinking here. So he comes out of the locker room in full uniform, just missing his helmet, and confronts Mike Leslie about this tweet or whatever. And then, but the way he ended it, it makes every prepubescent boy giggle so hard, because he's like, well, I mean, Mike's like, well, we can talk about it. And he's like, we can talk about these nuts. And I'm like,
D's nuts.
You just threw out a D's nuts. Which I kind of.
It's kind of funny.
It's
like, oh,
amazing.
He won.
Are you kidding?
He won this.
He dropped a D's nuts on you.
Yeah, he did.
Not even these nuts. It's D's nuts.
D's
nuts. Yeah. D's nuts. I told Henry, I'm like, dude, Trevon Diggs just said D's nuts.
Oh, how many kids this week are at school, on the playground? Talk about these nuts.
Yeah.
That's what their idols up there saying.
Yeah.
But I mean, sad kind of that he's scrolling Twitter that soon after a game still in his uniform and coming out and confronting. Now, I do think sometimes media is I don't know. I mean, you're hired to be it's all changed, right?
Oh.
You're hired to be a sportscaster and do the news and do the sports segment of a news broadcast. But now you have to be on social media. You have to have hot takes. You have to live tweet games. You get the most interaction when you're saying something negative about the Cowboys. And, you know, everybody piles on because we're watching the Cowboys play poorly. So, yeah, you're going to get a lot of interaction with a tweet like that. And so people keep doing it. But it's, I don't know. I don't really like that type of broadcasting either, or that type of journalism or whatever. But still, like, the player needs to be above that. And then I think he didn't really apologize, but I saw a quote today where Diggs was just kind of like, I was emotional. It was right after the game. I saw that. And it's just frustrating because I was trying. There were so many things I did well. Like, I was trying as hard as I can. Like, I was working my ass off. This guy doesn't know anything. He hasn't played football. You know, like, when you explain it, it's like, I can see where emotionally you're like, this is bullshit. But at the same time, that's just the way it is in the NFL.
I know.
And it's unfortunate that it has gotten that way. Yeah. But, you know, in the NFL, you just have to be able to handle stuff like that.
I know.
And he couldn't. He let his emotions get in the way. And then the other thing with the Cowboys that everybody's been talking about is, you know, Jerry Jones going on with the fan and the radio guys and saying that he could have them fired because he didn't like their line of questioning, which was basically asking Jerry, like, why didn't you do anything in the offseason? Why you knew this team wasn't going to be any good? Why didn't you try, you know, whatever? And Jerry got so mad and was like, I'm going to have you guys fired.
Yeah.
And then that went crazy. So you have Jerry kind of going nuts, and then you have Diggs going nuts and sounding off on the media. Dak is always throwing the media under the bus for whatever reason. He's always like, you guys this and you guys that. It's like, can you all just get the media out of your heads?
Yeah.
I don't know. The Cowboys media is
it does crack me
a lot
up
bigger than any other
athletes
team.
Athletes are like, you know, oh, I don't pay attention to what's said about me online or whatever. Well, even if you don't, the people around you do, and they're telling you about it. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Let's be real. But anyway.
Yeah. So now the Cowboys have a losing record.
And they are. They are in a bad, bad way.
Yeah. And to your point, and I'll stop talking about the Cowboys, but I did watch this game, so I have, like, thoughts, as opposed to sometimes when I'm just skim it and I see that they're going to lose and I go on with my life, which is a good place to be. But yeah, I flipped on too today to the fan because I'm trying to just, you know, be checked in a little bit more instead of checked out. And they're, like, breaking down the roster of, like, what next, like, how they can improve in the offseason. And it made me want to vomit. Like, oh my God, why are people talking about this? Why are people so obsessed?
I know, because it's the Cowboys.
It's just a sickness.
It's
a sickness. And it's like that the definition of insanity is doing something over and over and over thing. It's like, oh my God. So my takeaway was, like, it feels so good to, like, just be in a place where we don't have to do that anymore.
We can just be, you know. And I've gotten to the point where, as a fan, like, I'm happy when they win, but I'm numb when they lose. Like, it doesn't affect me.
And I highly recommend that to people. Like, just get in a place where you don't really care anymore about the Cowboys, and
which stinks.
You're going to be happy. Wear your gear, go cheer them on, go drink and eat and have fun.
Right.
Billy Joe's here.
But don't let them ruin your day or your life.
Okay, we need to keep trucking through because
sorry, that was my little Cowboys.
Did you
just woof me?
I did. Well, quick hit. Stars and Mavs early in the season both look
stars good. Are killing
stars
it.
Stars are killing it. Mavs are 2-1 as we tape.
Stars are going to Finland for a week too.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That should be fun.
Yeah.
And then the Mavs, Lucas off to a slow start, but Clay and Kyrie have been picking things up, so they're going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Both of those teams.
Three people that you can kind of rely on.
I know, exactly. And then the World Series. It's so hard for me to root for the Yankees. I love Jose Trevino, who used to play for us. But it's the Dodgers are just Freddie fucking Freeman is
he's so good,
unbelievable, and he's so likable.
Yeah,
he's so hard not to root for. It could be over by the time this posts because they're the Yankees.
I saw his post game last night. He's cute. He's and
so
nice.
Awesome.
And
I mean,
he's a good person.
Been through so much with his son this year. Yeah. Like, so
good
many
person
injuries.
For kids to
yeah, absolutely
to look up to.
So there's a little sports courts for you. Real fast. Let's
put that in the tackle box with the butt stuff.
I know. Yeah. let's hit some. So what's on your feed?
Yes.
Brought to us by our dear friends at Audrey Dolan's Media.
Yes. Audrey Dolan's Media. If you've noticed our social media getting a little bit of a glow up, that is all thanks to Audrey Dolan's Media. She and her team can really help elevate your business. And I love how they kind of target to like moms who own businesses or just people who are busy outside of their business, and they want you to focus on what you're good at and they can focus on all the rest, which is the social media, the marketing, the reaching out about collaborations and all of that. And they're super nice, super fun to work with, great people. And I just love, there's nothing better than seeing like the Mom Game page lit up, like there's something that's been posted that it wasn't us.
Yeah.
And I go look at it and it looks so good.
Yes.
And it's awesome. So it's been super fun to work with them, and we highly recommend them if you are trying to grow your biz.
Yeah. Audrey Dolan's Media. What's her, AudreyDolansMedia.com?
AudreyDolans.com.
Oh, I always do this every day. I always screw that up. Just AudreyDolans.com. She doesn't need the media. And she is, she signed on to help with the Do It for Durrett Foundation event, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a second. But so social, you were in charge of what's on your feed this week, and you put in here, Taylor is back on tour, which I'm not surprised. That there's got to be a Taylor something.
Oh, yeah.
And Jelly Roll.
Well, that was last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, Taylor is, she just wrapped up in New Orleans.
What was the Jelly Roll thing?
Jelly Roll got off Twitter.
Okay. Well, welcome to the club, Jelly Roll.
I don't even remember, but I remember it was just a dumb headline, and it made me think of when you got off Twitter. Jelly Roll saw something he didn't like on Twitter. Now Jelly Roll rolled off Twitter.
Jelly Roll rolled off.
He rolled his jelly off X. And it made me think of when Emily rolled off X, and it kind of made me want to ask you about where you're at with X these days, because I do feel like it's even worse than it ever, like it's more of a cesspool than it ever has been.
I was off, like, so I deleted it. I deactivated my account, but you can always reactivate it, I guess, or at that time you could when I did last year. And I deleted the app off my phone. And then I remember Super Bowl. It's kind of fun on during you know, big sporting events like that where you know everyone's going to be watching to like scroll Twitter a little bit and get some funnies.
Oh, yeah. That's the best.
It's get
really
some funnies here.
It
makes it communal and you get some funnies here and there. And so I remember I got back on Super Bowl Sunday and I like had a tweet about like, take that and rewind it back because Usher was performing at halftime. And I think maybe I've tweeted 5 times since then, which was January, February. It left my consciousness. It's now not on the same page as Instagram on my phone. I forget about it.
Instagram
honestly
has taken over.
It definitely has. So I just kind of forgot about Twitter, and it grossed me out so much. Like when I found out like that trolls were getting paid to say, you know, based on, I don't know, whatever formula they have. And then if you get comments, then you get monetized. And I don't know, that really, not that I'm not, please monetize, build your brand, do whatever. But I felt like I felt like people were saying things intentionally to incite people on one side or the other, or maybe even both sides, to get those comments going.
And engagement.
And it just made me feel real icky about the whole
thing. Well, the whole For You tab now, it's not really what I want to see, but they say what I want to see.
But all right. Well, stay strong. Jelly Roll.
Yeah, Jelly Roll.
Yeah. Okay. And then lastly, before we get to our guest, we have a very special guest in studio today, Billy Joe Jones, which we're super excited about. But we want to mention one more time before we get to TMG happenings, don't forget about those property taxes. You've got to pay them, but you may not have to pay as much as you think because of a company called OwnWell. They help homeowners save on property taxes. Instead of spending hours filing your property taxes appeal and preparing for an in-person hearing, they do that for you. So they do the research, they do the fighting, and then they take, there's no fee. They're in it to save you money, and then they get their fee based on how much money they save you. So it's a great program. You can, you know, reach out to them on ownwell.com.
Yep.
It's a great, now everybody's getting those property tax bills. And if you're,
it's just something to take off your plate.
Yes. Yep. And if you're trying to, if you're putting off paying them, which I don't know anybody who's really excited about that, but if you keep putting it off, just hand it over to them.
And if you want to go like do your due diligence, you can just know before you go, look up anybody else. Their fees are the lowest in the market at 25% are the contingent fees. No hidden fees, no upfront costs. You only pay if you save. Go to ownwell.com. And if there's a little box where you can say we heard about them, make sure you say the mom game.
Absolutely. Okay, a couple quick hits on TMG happenings. Do It For Dirt event is coming up, rapidly approaching November 8th, Grapevine Golf Club. We have like a handful of spots remaining for golfers. Would love it if any of you can help sell that thing out for us. Just reach out to me, the mom game, whatever, on social media for details on that. And then that we have the Josh Abbott Band concert later that night at Texas Live. VIP spots are, I think, officially sold out. So we've still got plenty of general admission tickets available, but that should be a fun night benefiting the Do It For Dirt Foundation, which if you know me, you know how important that cause is to me.
Yes. Also, we have a Kendra Scott event coming up this Saturday, and it is going to be at the Shops of Legacy on Saturday from 2:00 to 4:00. I will be there, and the Dallas Cowboys are debuting another jewelry line. So this one is more about statement pieces. So it's going to be like, think like a big boot necklace or a star necklace, and they're actually sending us some. So I'm super excited to see it and wear it. But if you don't have plans on Saturday, there's going to be a bar set up and you can bring your kids. There's going to be somebody like a sketch artist that's going to be sketching all of the attendees in their cute game day outfits. So wear your Cowboys gear and your cowboy boots and come shop with us at Kendra Scott at the Shops of Legacy. Their jewelry is so cute and there's something for everybody. So make sure you don't miss that one as well. And speaking of cowboys, we have a really exciting guest today to join us.
I know. I'm excited.
Cute little cowgirl.
And here she is, Billie Jo Jones, country music star. We are so excited to have you in the Coppola Studios here on The Mom Game. I got exposed to you. Oh, I think I'd heard about you before, but got to see you when you sang the Star Spangled Banner at the final home game of the Rangers regular season. Is that the first time you had done that?
No, I sing it once or twice a year for the past 4 years now.
Okay.
So it's definitely an honor and I love getting to do it. Super nerve wracking, but it's totally worth it. When I'm done, actually. Yeah. But in the moment, I have my moment where I'm like, oh my gosh, because you can't mess that song up. Like,
yeah.
You definitely can't do that.
So. And it was packed that day.
Yes, it was sold out.
It was a huge crowd. It was packed that day.
Yeah.
Well, you rocked it. Yeah,
it was
awesome.
It was so much fun.
Well, I'm so excited to just chat with you and learn a little bit more about you and your story. Yeah. I'm a huge country music fan. I've listened to it my whole life. I have a daughter that's 6 and wants to be a singer, and we all listen to country music all the time in our house. So I think it's cool to get to have the opportunity to sit down with somebody like you, who I think is on the cusp of like really making it big. I mean, you already have. You just recently played at Green Hall. I saw even this week with Jack Ingram, which is so fun. So I guess just tell us a little bit about how you kind of got started in this industry.
Yeah. So I was raised by my grandparents since I was 1. And so I grew
Where'd
up
listening
in Emory, Texas.
Okay.
Super small town, Emory, Texas. And so I was raised by my grandparents and I grew up listening to what I call the oldies but goodies. So Ray Price, George Jones, Loretta Lynn, Tammy Wynette, Patsy Cline, all the greats. So I definitely have a big heart for traditional country music and I try to mix, you know, the traditional side with the modern side of things. But I grew up in church singing when I was 9. That was like the first time I ever stepped on stage. And I'd play the local Opry's, like the Wally Opry, the Point Texas Cotton Pickin' Theater back in the day when it was open. So, I mean, it's kind of like the Grand Ole Opry, but, you know, way smaller, you know, little Opry's in Texas. So that was always, you know, a fun time growing up. But I've always loved country music and I always knew I wanted to be a singer since I was a little girl. And then songwriting came later on and I've had some really cool opportunities with that as well. So
So you said 9 years old you were like on stages?
Yeah, 9 years old. I was, you know, singing in church and playing different festivals and fairs and, you know, wherever my grandparents could take me. They drove hundreds of miles everywhere to get me out there to sing and stuff. And they still come to my shows. They're 89 and 86 years old.
Oh wow.
And they come to almost all of my shows. They're supposed to be there at Green Hall last weekend and my grandma was having some heart problems, so she didn't get to go.
Aww.
But they try to make all of them. So.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, and you, what shocked me about you when I started following you on social media is mm-hmm. you have a child my age. Like, you don't look very old. I'm like, wait a minute. Like,
a child your age.
No, not my age. No, sorry, my son's my age.
I'm like,
I
wait.
I was like wait, what?
She's not 70.
if I was, I would be looking really good.
I'm like, what is she saying?
You have
see, I tried to like not show my face. And I'm like, I kind of glanced
worry,
to you
out.
And I was like,
We have two,
but I'm like, is this phenomenon where her child is actually older than her? Like, it's bizarre.
What
it's
I was
crazy.
Trying to say is we have children the same age.
Yes.
And you don't look as old as me, is what I was trying
to
say.
I love that. People, and even like last weekend, someone was like, aren't you like 22? And I was like, oh, no, I wish that I was 22, but I'm definitely not. No, my oldest is 14.
Okay.
So I have a 14-year-old, a 13-year-old, 11-year-old, and a 7-year-old.
Oh, my God.
So it's a fun time all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
How do you balance all of that?
I have an amazing support system. So my best friend, she started working for me like 8 years ago. So she lives with me and watches my kiddos and has for 8 years now. So without her, I definitely couldn't go and do this because, well, my husband's in the oil field. So he's gone 2 weeks at a time and home for 2 weeks. So I definitely have to have someone there. So she's kind of become the second mama to the kiddos and keeps them in line. And I don't have to, like, if I'm in Nashville recording or playing somewhere, I don't have to be like, hey, did you do this? Like, she already has it covered.
That's
like,
amazing.
I don't have to worry about, you know, anything like that. So I have an amazing support system with her there and watching the kiddos and keeping them in line and or trying to keep them in line. You know how kids are, but.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty impossible to keep them in line. We try as best as we can.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us what it's like to try and build a country music career. Like, I can't even imagine what that's like, and you're trying to do it in Texas and also in Nashville because those are obviously the hotbeds for country music and country music artists. So what all goes into building this career?
Oh my gosh, it's it's crazy because here lately I've had a really good year, 2 years really, and people are finally, you know, seeing my name more, and they're like, oh, who's this girl? She's, you know, she's new. She's an, you know, overnight sensation, you know, whatever. And I'm like, I've been playing with my band for 11 years, number one. Number two, like it's a hard business, number one. It's even harder when you're a female. I'm not going to lie. That's just it is what it is. And so I have really, you know, focused on trying to build my fans, you know, sell tickets. I have, you know, my social media numbers are decent. They're not where I want them to be, but it's all organic. I didn't pay anyone to, you know, give me those followers or go get followers from somewhere else like you can do. That's super easy. Like I've kind of done things the hard way, I feel like. And the past couple of years I've teamed up. We have a really great team now. I'm signed to a small independent label called Get Joe Records. And so they are the ones that introduced me to my now producer, which is Dolly Parton's producer, Kent Wells in Nashville. So my first ever country album that just came out back in August was recorded and produced by Kent Wells. And so it's just kind of been a whirlwind the past couple of years because, you know, of people that I've met and making those connections and being presented with more opportunities and growing my team and having a good team behind me. It's really what it's been because I've been like, you know, right there. I just needed, you know, the people behind me and to get that extra push to really get my name out there. So we've really been, you know, working hard on that. And we've got some really cool opportunities that we've done and more that are, you know, in the works for next year and trying to put me on a tour with, you know, someone bigger to hit those bigger stages and stuff is kind of the next step, I think. So,
yeah, we have a lot of Texas country music friends, Josh Abbott,
Josh.
Randy Rogers, Casey Donahue, Pat Green.
Yeah. I played with all of them except Randy. He's top of my bucket list. So,
is he?
Yeah.
He's such a good dude. I'll put in a good word for you.
Yeah, please do.
and then, why am I blanking on? There's one more. Dang it, I can see him in my head. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But there seems to be like a Texas country music scene seems to be different than the whole country music scene.
100%.
How is, to explain that dynamic.
It's so crazy because
Wade Bowen. That's who it was.
Wade Bowen. I've lived with Wade more than anybody.
He's
the
so great.
Sweetest and so talented.
Yeah. Sorry.
But yeah, it's hard to explain because it's like Texas has its own country music scene. Like it's its own world, I feel like. And then when you go, because I'm doing both. I'm been promoting my songs to Texas radio. I've had a couple number ones now in Texas, but I've also pushed it over in mainstream, you know, Music Row over in Nashville. So I'm working, trying to work both sides of it just to, you know, reach more people.
Yeah.
And when I go and do radio tours, I've done radio tours all the way from Texas to Wisconsin up to New York and everywhere. And it's something that's really hard to do and time consuming, but it's worth it. And it's really worth it to do the work. Because a lot of people just think you're just going to get played on the radio just because your song is good. But when people can meet you face to face and build a relationship with, you know, the radio DJs behind the scenes that are, you know, playing your songs, that really helps. But to answer your question, yeah, Texas is, I don't know how to explain it other than we're just a world of our own. Like, I don't know, like, and it's so hard, like, for me trying to do both, because sometimes you'll kind of get feedback from, well, if you're doing Nashville, then, you know, why are you trying to do Texas?
Yeah.
Like, so there's sometimes it can kind of territorial, get a little sticky, but for the most part, everyone's kind of, they know that my goal is, you know, to one day, you know, be up there and be the next Lainey Wilson and you know, and have and be at that level. But I don't know if that's, you know, in store for me. That's my goal, though. That's what I've been working for a long time. And it's been going really, really well. But yeah, it's really hard to explain.
Yeah.
That. I just feel like Texas is its own world. But we also, like, we're all friends. Like, I don't feel like it's competitive.
Feel.
Like, it's especially not competitive
with the,
at all.
Yeah. The dudes that I know,
Nashville
they are.
Is very competitive. Yeah. Very competitive. But I'm a very competitive person, so I can take it and it's okay. Like, I'm good with it. But I do have a lot of friends in Texas country, and everyone is just so supportive of everyone else. And mm-hmm. especially when you go to the award shows and you can see your friends, and you know, it's fun.
Yeah, it's a different sound too, right?
It really
like,
is.
I love Texas country music and I like Nashville. You know, I like some of it's just different. It's just like a down home, like grassroots, like you go to Green Hall, you dance, you two step.
Mm-hmm.
And just growing up in Texas, I just love the sound. But then it's interesting because I, like we're saying, probably a lot of people don't cross over, and you could, like Pat Green, like he maybe did for a little bit mm-hmm. and he kind of went mainstream, but then he came back home and now he's doing more of the Texas vibe thing. So I can see where breaking into the industry and being here in Texas, it's challenging to kind of figure out where your goal is or where you're trying to fit mm-hmm. in. But who are, I guess, some of the people that maybe you look up to or that you say that you have a similar sound to? Not that you need to have a similar sound to anybody because you're your own, you know, you're yourself. But who are some people that you look up to?
I mean, growing up, the queen of country music in my eyes was always Loretta Lynn. I just loved her. She had kiddos and she, you know, made it work and did the thing and didn't take no for an answer and kicked down doors that were shut in her face. And I loved that about her. And so I've always looked up to Loretta Lynn. But right now, in today's country, and I say in today's country very lightly because sometimes some of the country music is not country, in my opinion, that's out there. But I am loving Lainey Wilson, what she's doing. She's just a powerhouse. She's killing it right now. Zach Top is one of my new favorites in country music. His sound is just authentic 90s country, and I love it. I love the 90s
Zach
country.
Top.
Yes,
okay,
y'all need to go.
Yeah.
Yes, check him out. He's amazing. He's blowing up. I think he's about to really, really, really blow up. He just played an event that I went to with the Dean Dillon concert over in Alabama that they did, and George Strait was there, and Cody Johnson, and Zach Top, and Riley Green, and just all the greats were there. It was a really great time, but yeah, I definitely look up to those. People say that I remind them of Miranda Lambert. My voice reminds them of Miranda, mm-hmm. but then another really awesome comment that I got one time was, if Miranda Lambert and Dolly Parton had a baby, that it would be me. And I'm like,
hey,
I'm
now.
Totally okay with that. So I'm totally okay with that. So I love
it. Yeah, that's a great comparison.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I just curious. I always ask random questions. So Billy Joe Jones just sounds like a country music singer. Is that your given name?
Billy Joe is Billy's my first name. Joe is my middle name.
Okay.
My maiden name was Ferguson. And then so my married name is Jones.
Okay.
I went by Billy Joe because I've been divorced a couple of times. So I when
hey,
you
good
switch
stuff
when
to
you
write
change,
about right
when
it
you
happens.
Change your name, it just I got annoyed because I, you know, was trying to go by my married name, and then I got a divorce, and then I had another divorce, and I'm like, forget it, I'm just going to be Billy Joe. Like, I wanted to just go by Billy Joe or whatever. And then when I got with the label, they're like, working on my rebranding and, you know, finding the look and the sound and all that stuff, they're like, we need to go by Billy Joe Jones. Because, it, I mean, like you say, it literally just sounds like a country music singer. And I was like, okay. And I told my husband, I'm like, if we get a divorce, like, I'm just keeping your name. I don't even care at this point. Like, I'm not going through all of this again.
Right. If it's my vibe. This is me.
This is me. This is what we're doing. So.
That's awesome. Okay. So, you know, in your opinion, I guess, like, what does it take to, like, make it? Or, like, how do you think other people who have found that success, like Lainey Wilson, is it maybe one person seeing you? Is it maybe just dedication and not giving up and that kind of thing? But in your opinion, what does it take, I guess, to make it big?
I mean, it's so hard because you can literally go viral for something and then the next day you're signed to a major deal from, you know, something going viral and people finding you. Like, a lot of TikTok people have been, you know, discovered through TikTok and have gone viral and have made it, and they didn't do the work. Like, they didn't go play the shows and put in the, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, I feel like, in my opinion. And I've just always, I mean, my grandparents always taught me to be a hard worker and, you know, whatever you do, make sure that you love doing it. And that's what I do. I love going and playing music. Now, if I don't ever make it to the Lainey Wilson status, and if I just stay as big as I am right now, I'm still doing what I love, and I, you know, can still make money and, you know, support my family or try to make money. There's really music businesses, you don't make a whole lot of money just yet. But I feel like working hard and not giving up has always been just what I wanted to do. Like, this is what I want to do. I could never do anything else. Like, I don't want a full-time 9-to-5 job. This is it. Like, this is what I want to do. And so I feel like if people are, you know, wanting to make it, you, and it is about luck too. And
I'm sure.
It really is about luck. And it's about your relationships that you make with other people. Like, I've met Dolly Parton's producer. He's my producer. He's introduced me to other people. I'm now with a media team in Nashville that, you know, works with, I just played the Grand Ole Opry. I sang with Lee Greenwood for a benefit that he did. So, like, it's those relationship and those connections that you can make along the way. And so hard work and a little bit of luck, honestly, I think is my answer for that.
And probably as a mom too, that's important that your kids are seeing you, like, committed to this dream, right? And working hard and doing whatever it takes. And even if it's that, even if it makes you, you know, have to travel or be busy or tired sometimes. As a mom, I can't even imagine the things you're going through, but that's what we talk about on this show a lot, like being a sports broadcaster. Like, we've both, you know, done that, worked nights, all of that for a long time, but there's just something about your kids being able to see you kind of follow your dream and your passion, right? That kind of helps you keep going even more.
It does.
So tell us about the album.
So I just recorded my first ever country album. It came out August 23rd. We even did some vinyls. I think they're actually coming in the mail this week, I hope, because we had people pre-order vinyls, and I've got to sign all of them and get them out. But we did 10 songs. I wrote, I think, 3 or 4 of them on the album, and the other ones were either written or co-written by the guy that owns my label, Lynn Snow, is an incredible songwriter, but he also owns Get Joe Records. And so there's several songs on there that he wrote. And it's just the whole album is, I don't think there's one song on there that I'm like, oh, I can't listen to this anymore, I'm going to skip it. Like, because when you go to record an album, they say you should listen to your own song like 100 times. And if you can't listen to your own song, you know, that many times, no one else is going to want to go and listen to your song like that many times. So it's that's the thing.
Interesting.
That what I've learned and what they've said. Yeah. And there might be one that I'm like, okay, this is annoying, but it's because it's catchy. And so and a lot of people really do love the song. And so, but to me, I'm like, oh man, cause it's kind of like Billy Ray Cyrus, his Achy Breaky Heart song. Like, you know that he's like over that song, but he has an achy breaky house. He has an achy breaky car. He has
That's
where the money's at. So that's one thing that I've kind of learned is, you know, being careful on what songs you're putting on the album, and my team and my label do really well at, you know, picking those. And we're already recording my second album right now. And
awesome.
I've got a Christmas song. My first ever Christmas song will be coming out in a couple weeks, going to radio and Spotify. And
I feel like we need some new Christmas songs.
Yeah, we need to write one. I covered I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Okay.
But it's definitely different than what most people do it. So I'm excited for people to hear it and for that cool. to get out there. So
yeah. Check it out. And is writing music fun? I feel like that would be so fun.
It is fun.
Also, it's probably hard to turn off your brain.
Like, it is, because that's my problem. Like, when I start writing a song, I'll get, you know, like a verse and a chorus, and then I'll get stuck, and then I can't go to sleep because I'm thinking about, I've got to finish, like, I need to finish it. Like, I'm like a right now kind of girl. It's one of my songs on my album. I really am a right now kind of girl. And so I don't want to stop thinking about it, and I can't turn my brain off. So I get really frustrated with that. But that's where co-writing comes in handy, and I can, you know, call up a co-writer and they can help me out.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear something.
So you were debating. We asked you if you wanted to play a song at the front or the end.
I know.
So can you tell us, what's the title of the album, first of all?
Some Girls Don't Cry.
Okay.
Is the title of the album. It's one of the songs on my album. It just hit number one in Texas
a few weeks ago.
And it's such a fun girl powerhouse song. Like, it's
love
just
it.
A, you know, uplifting women and you know, they don't care. She got a guy broke up with her is what the song's about. And she's like, I'm not going to be sad about it. I'm going to go out and have a good time with my friends. And, you know, some girls don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, I don't need
so
to cry.
I brought my friends to Nashville and we did a music video to that song. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Can you write a song for me that's called Some Girls Cry When They Get Really Mad?
Yeah, because that's me too. So I'm definitely, if you see me cry and I'm like mad, like, you know,
he's
like
pissed.
It is bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be real bad. So. And I can be crazy
God, if
sometimes.
I had to write songs about my own life, I'd be so they'd be so fucked up. That's what they'd be called.
It'd be like talking about
some girls are hormonal bitches.
Some girls are obsessed with OCD, cleaning their house and mowing.
Yes.
Yeah, she's
some girls embarrass their kids by picking them up in a sexy nurse costume.
She just did that.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Her husband said, her husband,
my 13-year-old.
Her son said that she couldn't pull off a sexy nurse costume. And so,
for
like,
for
normally,
whatever.
Normally, yes, you might just be like, oh, ha ha, whatever, move on with your life. Not this one. She went and bought one.
Oh, that would be
wore it to school pickup.
Do you have pictures of this?
Because
I'm going to need to see this video.
Yes,
so
yes.
Funny.
She'll show you. He ran away.
He literally ran away. And he didn't say it. Like, he wasn't like, Mom, you can't pull that off. I think he was probably like, you're too fucking old to do this, Mom. And so anyway, because he really is a sweet kid. So yeah, I was like, well, challenge accepted. We'll find this out.
Oh, 100%.
So anyway, basically the point of my story was that my song titles, if I was a songwriter, would be really messed up.
They would be. And that's when you can write stories about other people, people, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to all be about your life, like if your life is very interesting.
Or nuts.
Yeah.
Okay, so what were you debating between as far
as songs?
We can help
you.
Songs you can help me. Well, I have a song on my album that I wrote for my grandparents.
Oh, that's probably going to make me cry.
Yes, 100%. Oh. So if you don't want to cry.
Some girls do cry a lot. That's it.
Then I have my current single just went to radio last week, and it's called Whose Tequila Are You Drinking?
Oh, we like that.
So it's more of a two-stepper song. So
okay.
Whichever because
I'm in menopause and hormones are all over the place. Let's go with the tequila.
Okay, good. Yeah, so this song was written by Lynn Snow. It's on my album that just came out, so it's already out, you know, Spotify, Apple Music. But it went to radio, and we found out it was the most downloaded and the most spin increase in a week. It only been out a week, so it like topped everyone's song so far on the chart. So it's doing really well.
Sweet,
I'm super proud
so
of
exciting!
It.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'm gonna record a little bit of it. Yeah.
All right. It's hard to see you after all this time. These locals really make this place. In here to escape all the madness, and the way you leave in me makes me feel. Whose tequila are you drinking? You never drank that stuff before. Black beer was all you could handle. Who you holding that drink for? I'd
put you in this position. But I'm sure I was here first, and just when I couldn't feel worse, I see you here, and just like that, my heart can't take my eyes off that glass. Who's tequila you drinking? You never drank that stuff before. Black beer was all you could handle. Who you holding that drink for? I'd like to meet her if she's here tonight, and look her in her home wrecking eyes. Before I tell her what I'm tequila, are you drinking? I come in here to lose my grip on memories and time. You don't belong with her, you belong with me, like tequila, salt and love. Who's tequila? Are you drinking? You never drank that stuff before. Black beer was all you can handle. Who you holding that drink for? I'd like to meet her if she's here tonight, and look her in her home wrecking eyes. Before I tell her what I'm thinking, tell me who's tequila are you drinking? Before I tell her what I'm thinking, who's tequila are you drinking?
Woo! Man.
Woo! Oh my gosh.
Girl, you can sing.
Your voice is amazing.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
I want to know, did you find that bitch? And did you look her in the eye? Because now I'm pissed. And I want to find her.
So we'll find her. That's amazing. Gosh, what a powerful voice.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially out of such a little package.
Yes, right? Thank you. So when you were little and performing on stage, did you have a giant voice like that as a little girl?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely could belt it out when I was little, and I finally learned like to control it, you know, later on in life. And then I've finally started, I was really shy, honestly. Like I could sing and get on stage, but I didn't really move around a whole lot and stuff. And now you come to a show and it's like, who is this girl? Because she did not do that when she was a kid. And I love playing full band shows. And I go out in the crowd, like during one of my songs, like I did it at Green Hall. I wasn't going to do it. But I went ahead and I was like, I'm just going to do it. It's fine. And there was like 700 people. And so I went out, you know, into the crowd and was walking around and like shaking hands and, you know, dancing. And it's just so much fun.
So
I love it. So
God, I wish I could sing.
Me too. I know. Can in
it
my
seems
dreams.
Like so much fun. I can yeah. in my dreams.
What's your favorite place you've performed? Best experience so far in this career, this journey?
Oh man, that's tough. I'd probably... Oh my gosh! I don't know. That's so hard.
It's good if
Grand
there's
Ole Opry's got to be up
Grand
there.
Grand Ole Opry, but it wasn't my moment. Like it was my debut, so like I didn't step into the circle. I did not get near the circle because it's just it's a special sacred place, and I'm praying for my time to, you know, make my debut. That's my grandparents have always wanted me to play at the Grand Ole Opry,
yeah.
And so they're 89 and 86, and I'm hoping that. Maybe we can get a connection and get in there at some point. But
let's go, Grand Ole Opry.
Yes, Grand Ole Opry.
They obviously listen.
Come on.
But I stayed away from that circle. But just being on the stage, you know, with all the artists that I was up there with was just incredible. So, I mean, that was awesome. Green Hall was definitely one of my bucket list moments last weekend. I've wanted to play there for a very long time and made my debut there with my band. So, man, it's gonna be hard to beat.
So cool.
Beat those. So.
We can't wait to watch and see where you go.
No,
follow your journey. Please
you.
Tell people where they can find your music, where they can find you.
Yes, you can go to billyjoejones.com. That's my website. It'll take you to all the links to my Spotify, Apple Music, Facebook, TikTok, all that good stuff. Y'all be sure. And is this gonna air before November 10th?
Yes.
I forgot. I was supposed to mention. I'm up for an award with the Texas Country Music Association.
Let's go.
And they're doing the award show at Billy Bob's on Sunday, November 10th. And I'm up for Emerging Artist of the Year, and I get to sing an acoustic song that night.
Oh, super cool. Do you know what you're going to sing?
Probably that song. Okay. I think I'm going to do that one because it's my single that's out right now. And yeah. There'll be a bunch of radio people there, and maybe it's they'll very hear impressive. It and it pick is. It up. So.
Oh, it's yeah. awesome. Yeah. Well, this was Thank so you. Fun having
Thank
you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sorry for my yeah. inappropriate questions.
No,
this is awesome. Great. I'm excited to follow along with your journey.
Because now we have, like you talking about those relationships and connections now, we yes. feel we've.
Yeah, we're going to go spread the word.
And I'm going to text Randy Rogers.
Yeah. Right, and I have a friend. And if you all ever need music for an event or anything, yeah, seriously. Contact me.
So okay, we will. That. Because awesome. We do. Yeah, yeah, we will for sure. And I have a friend that used to work with the Grand Ole Opry, and I'm going to tell her.
Oh,
I'm
going to
tell
cool.
her about you. Yeah.
Very cool.
Because you can just tell when you know, when you want to pull for somebody, and you're somebody that I think that a lot of people will want to pull for when they hear your story, and when they, especially when they hear you sing. So,
thank you so much.
You're easy to root
yeah,
for. You're the
yeah.
Freddie Freeman of country music.
To sports oh, analogy, yeah. we sports were just talking story. About yeah. the World Series.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's like, oh, thanks. Who the hell is that?
The Freddie Freeman of country music. Emily's on one today.
And we haven't even been drinking.
We haven't. Usually we are.
Yeah. Okay, well, Billy Joe, we end every show by looking into our camera, and as cheesy as it is, we throw up the peace signs and we say mom game out. So okay.
Did she belt it out?
What if you sang it?
Ooh.
Mom game.
How
is like, we need a jingle. We don't even have a jingle.
Who's mom game is out.
Maybe I should write y'all a jingle and then y'all can have it.
And then we could play at the beginning yeah. or end of our show.
Yeah.
We don't need
to work on that.
Yeah, you can work on it.
Okay. Cool. What if we all sing it together?
Mom game out. What do you think?
Let's
what
see.
Makes
you
sense?
Give us a Let me beat. Think. What is it called? The
chord?
Yeah.
Or
oh gosh,
octave?
I don't know.
Octave.
Just
octave?
Mom game out. However you think is cute.
Okay, let's see. Oh gosh. I don't know. That's hard. Okay. I was thinking like make it Carrie Underwood style and like I don't know, like, mom game out or something. I don't
okay.
know.
Okay. No, you do that and we'll.
And then y'all try
we'll,
your best.
And we'll cut sync. Okay, do it one more time.
Okay, ready?
Okay.
And we like no, here?
You do it one more time for us to. Okay, I need
okay.
to hear it.
Okay. Mom game out.
Oh, gosh. Okay, ready?
We've got
okay.
it, Sam.
You can do it. You can do it.
One, two, three.
Mom game out. That was pretty good.
Nailed it.
The Mom Game is proud to partner with local Geico offices, Victoria Elliott, proudly serving your local community.